Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's a McCartney and Wings weekend. Who could have scripted that? Sir Paul tonight at KeyBank Center.
Is that how he does it? He does the wings like the W with his fingers?
And Detroit tomorrow for Buffalo. Some of us will be there.
Get a win for the Wings. How about that?
Against the Wings. Thank you. Lot to unpack. And the Sabres are still in this road rut, unfortunately. Yes. Despite, you know, tough start, clawing their way out of it, being even with Colorado, but only for a minute and a half last night. This is a very, very difficult time for this depleted, to a certain extent, group that is 0-7 in road games this year. 6-3 was the final last night as Colorado extends their point streak to 9 overall. Home, they've been near perfect, and I'm sure when we talk to Shayna Goldman later in the show, like it's going to be impossible not to throw a few more bouquets at just how good this Avalanche team is right now. But our focus, it's Sabres Live. And yes, there are moments where you nail it down and you look better and stronger. But Marty, it's the gaps and the challenges early in games or late in games that have to be smoothed out and eliminated here.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'll start with some of the positive. Like we talked about puck possession in the offensive zone. The Sabres had more puck possession time in the offensive zone than Colorado. Tage Thompson ended up with almost 30 seconds of puck possession time, which the game before against Utah, it was like in the low 20 seconds. And 8 to 10 seconds of puck possession in the offensive zone for one player makes a big difference. Okay, so the negative is, okay, you spend more time in the offensive zone, but the quality of possession time in the offensive zone. So out of the top 4 Sabres player to have had the puck most in the offensive zone, you have 3 defensemen. Samuelson, Power, and Byram, along with Thompson, right? So you look at Colorado, well, it's MacKinnon. Yes, Makar is there. But it's Brindley, it's Natchez, it's Drury, it's Landeskog, it's Nelson. It's like, it's forwards for Colorado that have the puck in the offensive zone, that are around the net, that are trying to create. For Buffalo, it's defensemen that have the puck. Why? Because you're basically playing at the blue line, right? But you're playing 70 feet away from the net, not 15 to 20 feet away from the net. So, you know, that's a positive. You have the puck in the zone more. The negative is it's not really the guys that are in and around the net that have the puck. There's a positive. I thought Tage looked faster, played better, and obviously had a power play goal, something that the power play, and we haven't seen power play success in a long time. The negative is, okay, well, you're going to need to rely so much on your top six to be able to get going. But then you ended up getting Jordan Greenway a goal. And, you know, you ended up getting Bo Byram getting a goal. So you're like, oh, well, we're getting the depth, but you're giving up way too much. Mm-hmm. You know, the game that started this, Duffer, was the 3-0 loss to St. Louis. Like, when you think about it, I mean, there was overtime loss and there was some struggles, but you're getting points and it felt better. That loss to St. Louis, to me, was one of those games where St. Louis was going nowhere. They had got spanked the night before. They scratched Jordan Kyrou. They had pulled Binnington. Like, it was, and it just didn't come together. And now you look at the last four games, you're giving up 5 goals a game on average. I get it, empty netters or whatever, but it's still like you got to score 6 to win. I mean, that's hard to do.
It is, and Tage Thompson has to be the catalyst for driving the offense through the entire lineup, and last night was back in the middle and had this afterwards after the loss.
I felt like myself. I felt way better in the middle. I thought I was moving my feet really well. I thought... you know, for me, I like being in the middle. You can carry the puck and kind of dictate the pace of the game. And I feel like it just gets me involved in the play more. So being able to skate up the ice with the puck and make plays and find myself in pockets to shoot. So you know, I think that was, you know, for personally for me, a good step, but obviously not good enough.
There's two layers to this commentary from Tage, this comfort of him in the middle. Mm-hmm. Right now, they are missing an awful lot of players.
Yes.
Many of whom play center. Oh, it's easy to understand how he could stay in that position right now, but how do they find a way, if it's best for him, to have him in the middle full-time again?
Well, I mean, it all has to be a conversation, right? When you, if you're Lindy Ruff and even Kevin Adams to a certain extent, and you're looking at your roster, you're talking to players, and you get that kind of reaction from Tage Thompson after a game saying, I felt more like myself. I was moving my feet better. Now, there's two ways of looking at it. Okay, you moved your feet better. It doesn't matter if you're playing left wing, right wing, center, D, or whatever. Then get that same feeling of you moving your feet and get me that wherever you got to play. It doesn't matter if you're playing right wing or center or left wing or whatever. But there's also a... we need him. We need Tage Thompson to perform. We need him to drive the play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like a parent, right? Sometimes you have to give hard love to your kids, but sometimes you also have to cater them to feel good about themselves and to get going. And then after that, maybe there's hard love coming. But so I almost feel like right now, because of the situation, it's almost like you got to cater to what Tage feels more comfortable with. And you saw it in the game. And, you know, he scores, makes it 3-3. You're thinking, wow, after a disastrous start where they gave up 2 goals and Lindy has to change goalies because he wants to lay into the team a little bit and talk to them. And they made it 3-3. Why? Because Tage was a big part of creating some offense and getting that power play goal.
So if fully healthy at some point, how could it look in your mind if Tage stays in the middle?
So if fully healthy, I'm including Benson, Norris, Kulik, Zucker. I don't see Tage being in the middle. And I don't think Tage would have a problem saying, hey, it was you, Norris, and Benson. That's how it was going to be. And you're going to find some chemistry and it's going to be good. I don't think he has a problem with that. But I do think that Tage sees the writing on the wall when you put the lineup out there and he says, I can help my team be the number one center if we don't have a number one center to be there. And look, if Norris isn't back, but Kulik sometime would be, like, I'm just saying hypothetical. Then I would say maybe I'm keeping Tage in the middle and I'm going Tage, McLeod, and Kulik as your 1-2-3 centers. If Norris is back, then I think it's easier to move Tage back to the wing, but play them together. That's almost the only scenario I would have Tage go back to the wing is if Norris is back healthy and playing top line center and Tage is on that line.
You mentioned the St. Louis game. Lukanen played that one. He didn't like the second goal of the game that was scored against him in that one and what turned out to be a 3-0 loss with an empty netter from distance by the Blues. Last night, Lukanen unexpectedly came in after a 2-goal deficit early. As you said, the coach chose that moment to not use the timeout, but shake things up, get the team's attention, take Lyon out, not his fault, put Lukanen in it. How do you view Lukanen's performance all the way through from his start to his finish last night?
I always will continue to harp on consistency is your best ally as a goaltender. And I'm not just talking from game to game, I'm talking within the 60 minutes of a game. And that has been a bit of an issue with Lukanen. You go back to the Toronto game. They're up third period, right? And he whiffs on one with the glove and he says, I didn't like that goal. And I don't like that goal against St. Louis. And then you ask him the question about, well, you didn't ask him, but the question was asked about the 4-3 goal, the fourth goal by Colorado, the game-winning goal. And I didn't really like that goal. I'm like, okay, with that, the only consistency that's in these comments is there's always one goal that he doesn't like. Now, did he make a big save late in the second? That could have been 5-3 right there. He made a huge save. Mm-hmm. He made a big save on McKinnon on the power play. He's made some big saves. But It's the one that gets away. That one save you need to make that doesn't get done. And maybe that's still, for him, it's still early in the season. But for the team, mm-hmm. like we're getting close to 20 games now. That would be a quarter of the season.
Yep.
It's not early in the season for the team. Like you want to get some wins. And this one, like, I didn't love this goal. It's just, you know, kind of, clouding the whole situation, the whole performance.
Right. Here's Lindy and Lukanen.
To give them that opportunity right off the bat was a tough way to start the game. I think taking the goalie out was to buy me some time to talk to the team for a second to get organized and say, you know, we can get back in this game, and I thought we did. I mean, you've got a backdoor tap in and a breakaway. That has nothing to do with your goal. And I told him that when he came off the ice, too. It was just to buy some time and shake the other guys up.
It's part of the job. That's why there's a backup goalie. You know, as a team, we didn't start good enough. And, you know, that's kind of a way to wake the team up. So part of the job, and you have to be ready for it. Kind of similar second goal. Not happy about it. But other than that, I think it was a good game. As you said, it's not always easy kind of jumping on that, but I felt like I got the game, you know, flowing right away and, you know, felt good playing today.
Detroit is next. It happens tomorrow. Alex Lyon, a former Red Wing, but Colton Ellis, the only goaltender to have beaten Detroit this year from Buffalo's standpoint. So of the three, who is likely to start tomorrow?
Well, you asked me in the postgame last night. It's kind of a, when there's three goalies, it's always the, well, what do you think is going to happen with the goalies moving forward? I would anticipate Lukanen going in. So you had a three-game road trip. You started with Colton Ellis in Utah. You had Alex Lyon play, but he only played 6 minutes. So you're thinking, well, this was maybe a full game for Lukanen. Do you put back? I think Lukanen goes back in. And that's another thing. The question was asked Lukanen, like, you always have to be ready. I sat on the bench for over 500, maybe 600 NHL games as a backup goaltender. You always have to be ready. And it doesn't matter if it's 6 minutes in or with a minute left in the game. Like, there's always that situation where you have to be ready to go in and have to be ready to make a save or two. That's part of the business. And maybe for Lukanen, it was a little easier because, it was 6 minutes into the game. Your body's still a little warm. You still have the warm-up that just happened. Like, you know, recently you saw some shots, so it eases the way to get into the game. Did I put another zzzz in that?
Mm-hmm. You must know the number of games that you were dressed for.
I don't.
Okay. Can you ask the league? Like, I mean, obviously it's over 1,000. You played over 500.
Well, that's why I'm saying it's got to be like another 600 or so. Like, I think I was
right, and this becomes a big number that we should always attach to you and your experience in the NHL. Seriously, like this isn't a significant number, whether you got a silver stick or not.
I'm going to email NHL stats as we are done, okay. And I will ask how many games was I actually dressed for in the National Hockey League? How many games did I come in relief? That pretty easy because games played and games started are like separated in your stats.
On Hockey Reference, for sure. It's an easy lookup. Okay, Detroit is next. They won last night. What to expect?
Well, Detroit is flying.
They had just lost. They've lost 4 of 5.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying offensively, they got their wheels going and they. They looked really good against Anaheim last night. Like, and it wasn't just the D's were active, point shots, screens. They were buzzing around the net. I look at the standings and I look at where the Atlantic Division is at right now. At one point, Detroit was in the top three. Now Boston, with their win streak, well, they lost one, but they had won 7 in a row before that. Kind of took over. I see Detroit as a pretty good team. And you saw that when we played Detroit in Buffalo, Colton Ellis had a really good game. The Sabres played well. They played quick. But you could see Detroit has a really good roster that they put together. Like, DeBrincat had 5 or 6 scoring chances in that game. Just couldn't find the back of the net, but he was all around it.
And Larkin's on pace for his best season ever in the NHL. And that's a huge, huge thing for Todd McLellan's team. Okay, we saw Nathan MacKinnon last night. He extended his point streak to 11 games, which is the longest active. Trails only Nick Suzuki for longest in the NHL this year. Yeah. Suzuki's came to an end at 12. We are also going to see Connor McDavid on Monday when the Oilers come in. Might well see Zach Hyman with him too, because Hyman's expected to make his season debut this weekend for the Oilers against Carolina. McDavid or MacKinnon? One off, one game. You need to win. Who are you taking?
This is not the question.
On November 14th. Like, you have to win tomorrow.
On this day right now.
On this day right now.
One game, I will pick Nathan MacKinnon.
Me too.
That's not to say that if you ask me who is the best hockey player in the world, I would say Connor McDavid is and should probably be considered the best hockey player in the world. As long as he keep doing what he's been doing. But Nathan MacKinnon has now elevated his game to a whole other level. Even when he wasn't getting any points yesterday, and it wasn't until the 5-3 goal that he got his first assist of the match to be able to continue his point streak. His impact in the game, his involvement on the puck, is... unpredictability with the puck, his speed of execution is at a level right now that nobody else in the National Hockey League can match. So I'm saying you got a game 7 in the Stanley Cup and we're overtime and it's 5 a.m. and we've gone through 6 OT and all of a sudden Gary Bettman says, new rule, 1-on-1.
Oh gosh.
And it's McDavid against MacKinnon. I think Nathan MacKinnon would win at this moment right now.
MacKinnon has a cup. He has one heart. McDavid has three hearts. Who wins the heart between the two this year? Or someone else, I guess.
If I was voting right now, I would say Nathan MacKinnon. The separation between he and the rest of the league is
And by the way, McDavid is number 2 in scoring right now behind MacKinnon.
I know. He's caught up. He's caught up to the young kids, the Bedard, the Carlson, and the Celebrini, right? But if you were telling me vote right now, I've got my ballot. I'm voting. I would vote Nathan MacKinnon. And you know what else? If the players were voting for the Ted Lindsay Award, they would vote Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah,
at this moment.
I agree.
I think it would be a sweep. Now, a lot of time it gets half and half. Some media members like a certain style of players, and the players, they vote on somebody else. That would be a sweep, Nathan MacKinnon.
So McDavid comes to town on Monday. Let's look at what is ahead for Buffalo. They have to get this first road win out of the way tomorrow against Detroit and then try and stack them on home ice. It's Edmonton on Monday. It's Calgary on Wednesday. It's Chicago. Like, think of the star power here. We're going to see we're seeing McDavid and Bedard in a 5-day window here on home ice. And then next Sunday afternoon, like a week from this Sunday, it's Carolina again. Yeah. So this is like a huge homestand coming up, and obviously great opportunity for you to get in the building. You can build out a 5-game pack right now. Enjoy savings on single game pricing, priority access to playoff ticks, flexibility to bundle your favorite games. Visit sabres.com/5. It is quite the road ahead here, Marty.
It is quite the road ahead. Look, Calgary played a very tight game against San Jose, and they dominated the San Jose Sharks, a team that has been going pretty well of late. So, yeah, Detroit, Oilers, Flames, Blackhawks, and then Carolina. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's 5 games right there. There's no easy games, and I get it. It's the NHL. There shouldn't be any easy games on any given night, but those are all very challenging because of, well, Detroit has a good, well-balanced team. The Oilers, it's McDavid, Draisaitl. Calgary's maybe the one, the low one, but then you got Connor Bedard, you got the Canes. Like, that's a challenging, 10, 12 days here for the Sabres.
Right, and after losing their first 3 in a row to start the season, Chicago has rattled off 8 wins, 3 regulation losses, and 3 overtime losses. So that's a lot of points over a 14-game stretch. And obviously, Connor Bedard has been the biggest reason why. So with all that being said, Sabres wings tomorrow. We're on with 6:30 pregame coverage. The Amerks have had a tough go here in the last week plus. Devon Levi not expected to start tonight. Topias Leininen expected to get the call as they open up 2 in a row on the road. They are in Hartford. And quickly on that, is that expected based on how you were saying, like, your focus was like Levi, practice, reset, yada, yada?
Yeah, yada, yada, yada. A little Seinfeld here. But yes, my thing is, one game where you give up a lot of goals and maybe you don't look as good, as sharp, okay, let's throw you back in it. 2, then you have a decision to make. Let's throw you back in it. And let's see. Now it's been 3 games where Levi's given up more goals, not as steady in the net as you want. Yeah. Okay, let's spend some time to practice here and go back to the basics. And that's the other thing. Don't go out there and overcomplicate things and say, I got to work on my, extra super charge overlap reverse VH. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Don't go into like all these crazy details. Simple. Movement, shot, save, rebound. Movement, shot, save, rebound. Get the basics and the foundations back to where you need them to be.
So we'll keep close tabs on the Amerks this weekend. Obviously, they've had the trickle-down effect of not having their top scorers, but they have found a way offensively to get that production from many players like Lecision and Kuntar. And, I mean, it really has been quite the effort. And keep in mind that their leading point getter is not a forward. So while we have spent so much time talking about Roseanne and Austlin lately, their top scorers, defenseman Zach Jones, who's up with the Sabres and hasn't been playing. So, this is all part of, trying to put together a lineup, which Michael Leone is doing with Rochester right now. And if the goaltending had been just a hair better in the past week, they might still be at the top of the division. Instead, they're a little closer to .500 right now with all the goals against over the last 3-4 games. So, last night, NHL, busy night. Sabres Avalanche kind of came down to the last few minutes before the Avs separated and ultimately won 6-3. Dazzled and disturbed. What place are you in after what you witnessed last night?
So the place I'm in right now, and I'm going to like let producer Sam go to Tim Stützle. I don't know if we have any viz of Tim Stützle, but he started the season with 2 goals in 9 games. And now he's got 8 goals over the last 9 games, and he was buzzing in that game for the Ottawa Senators. He got that goal late to go up against Corpusello and the Boston Bruins. And Duffer, you know that Tim Stützle has probably the ugliest tape job in the league, right? Like, he has that little strip of tape, like, in the middle. It's not even around the blade or whatever. Well, my investigative journalism skills, last night I'm watching the highlight in the game and I'm like, wait a second, Tim Stützle, he's got a Jeff Skinner almost sleeve, like from the heel all the way to the toe of tape. What is going on? So I went on Getty Images and started looking at frame by frame of games, and he was 2 goals in 9 games, and then in the middle of a game against Boston late October, he changed his tape job, and now He's tied with Leo Carlson in the last 9 games with 8 goals in the NHL. Like, a tape job can go a long way, people. I'm telling you. That's what the key and the dazzling aspect of Tim Stützle is going on right now.
Sammy, keep that in mind when you need to help keep our show together.
The tape job.
Throw some
tape on
it. It's
all about the tape job.
And it's funny you mentioned that exact time period, because now I think you know the answer. But over the last 3 weeks, and Stützle is in this group, can you name the other players? There's 10 players in the league over the last 3 weeks that have scored 8 goals or more. Can you name them?
Well, I know it was Stützle and Leo Carlson since October 27th, but there was a bunch of other ones at 7, which would have been over that frame, 8 goals or more.
Celebrini, Carlson.
Yeah, Celebrini, Bedard.
Carlson, Bedard, Gauthier, Stützle, Draisaitl, Sam Reinhardt, who has 8 in his last 9. McKinnon, Brad Marchand, who has 8 in his last 8.
Yeah.
And there's one guy who has more. It's Morgan Geeky with 9. And it's amazing that you just mentioned the stick and tape and change that Stützle presented. There was a terrific article on The Athletic in the last week about Morgan Geeky and the sticks that he uses and how he'll use like a different pattern of like a different star player warm-ups or whatever to get a different feel and then go back to something that he likes. But he just wants to, it's almost like reaffirm what he does like and have just an idea of how differently it can feel. I was like, what a beautiful piece. So.
When it works, it works. So, but when it doesn't work, it's almost odd playing in your mind a little bit too much, right? So Chris Gratton was like that. So Chris Gratton had like 5 sticks on the stick rack and all of them at a different length. Mm-hmm. He'd get on the power play. He goes, I need my power play stick. Well, which one is that? It's the shorter one because I need the stick handle better. Then it would be like 5-on-5. I need that one. Penalty kill. If he ever got on a penalty kill, it was a long one. Like, okay, come on, dude. Like, just stick to one goal, one stick, right? So, but for some others, like Morgan Geeky, having a different feel, depending on, guys do that too, depending on where they play, different flex. Mm-hmm. You're going to go play in Florida. The ice is a little stickier. You want a stiffer stick because the flex get caught on the ice a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Playing, you know, in Edmonton, better ice. You want a lower flex. Like, guys do that a lot too with the flex of their sticks.
It's amazing because I don't think it ever leaves you once you have the equipment in your hands. And that's the beauty of the game. You fall in love with it for a million reasons. And we'd love your kids' journey in hockey to start right here. Our Learn to Play program includes a full set of gear, 6 weeks of instruction, and a ticket voucher presented by WellNow Urgent Care. So no experience needed for this. You can upgrade to Team Tuck. And your child can skate at KeyBank Center with Alex Tuck. Register now at sabres.com/learn-to-play. Shayna Goldman, straight ahead. It is Friday, after all, here on Sabres Live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Paul Hamilton joining us. Sabres in Utah and then Colorado. So back to back. Paul, where are you now?
I am still in Salt Lake.
Okay. In Salt Lake, making your way to Colorado, to Denver today for the Sabres and Avalanche.
How far is that of a trip, Salt Lake City? Because I feel like it feels like on a map it's not that big, but I bet it's probably far.
It's a 90-minute flight. How is it?
That's it.
Okay.
All right. Oh, it is that close?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, Paul, Colorado tonight, which is a big test. And last night they gave up 5 straight to Utah in a loss to the Mammoth. I want to start, Paul, by asking, what level of expectation is fair/okay to have given the number of injuries they have? Because they do have a lot, and they're probably not a team that's built to sustain a lot and endure a lot. So how do you end up like squaring that? Because they're missing very important players.
They are, and they were missing some very important players who had uniforms on last night. Tage Thompson and Alex Tuck and Ryan McLeod were absolute no-shows. No-shows. They didn't show up whatsoever. No shots from any of them. And if those three show up, you win a hockey game. Simple as that. I mean, Utah's best players showed up. Buffalo's, they might as well stayed on the bus. I mean, they were that bad. You have a 2-0 lead. If those three play their games, you win a hockey game. Injuries do happen, and you know I point out that it's the way this team is built. I mean, as soon as Josh Norris went down, it was like that probably they're not going to be able to overcome that because there's just no depth on this hockey team when it comes to their top six. They don't have enough top six forwards yet, and you lose one. And you lose your best one as far as your best centerman. There's no depth in this organization to overcome it. I mean, that's why the Florida Panthers, they lost their captain and they lost Tkachuk. And you don't have Tkachuk, you don't have Barkov. They'll survive, and they are surviving. The Ottawa Senators might be a better example. They don't have Tkachuk, their best player by far. Batherson didn't start the year. He was out. Where are they? They're doing pretty well. They're doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. So, Paul.
So, I understand. But the thing is, the Sabres can't overcome it because they aren't built with any depth whatsoever.
Well, is the worst part about last night maybe that a couple of the guys that wouldn't be in the lineup for all of those injuries, Osland, Roseanne, Dunn has been giving you good shifts, that you are getting some contribution from the replacement level guys, and your guys that would have been in the lineup if everyone was healthy are the ones letting you down?
That's the thing. You got some secondary scoring. You've got the lead. Your goaltender was playing great. You're getting the goaltending. You're getting the secondary scoring in this hockey game. You've jumped out to a 2-0 lead. And even though you were being outshot after 40 minutes, you were leading in shot attempts. You were leading in block shots. You were leading in hits. And the only real problem they were having is they couldn't contain Utah's biggest, their best line. Utah's best player showed up. Now, they hadn't scored yet, but Cooley and Keller and Schmaltz were flying. and the Sabres had no answers for him at all. And they were just all over him, and Ellis was making great saves on him. Simple as that. That line was getting goalied. But the Sabres couldn't handle him at all. And that's what I said to Brian for a minute. I said that really the thing that they have to do is find a way to slow that line down. And then, sure enough, they did finally start scoring in the third period. So after 40 minutes, you'd had the 2-0 lead midway through the second. You gave up one goal. All right. You know, it was a screenshot. Ellis never saw it. Dunn screened him, and he never saw it. But you're still 2-1. And, all right, go win a hockey game. And I said to Brian, not only do they have to get points in this game, they have to win this game. I mean, we had talked about, if you're going to keep yourselves alive in this race by the end of the weekend, you probably got to take 3 points. Well, there were 2 sitting right there for them. And then, I knew Colorado was good, and I was looking before I went to bed. I didn't realize they had 1 regulation loss all year.
Yeah, right.
1 regulation loss. They have got points in 16 of their 17 games. They are, the number one team in the NHL in points. They are the number one team in the NHL in goals for, and then the number 2 team in the NHL in goals against. Hmm. And they have not lost in regulation at home. I believe they're 5-0-2, if I'm going by memory. When I say you had to get 3 points, I don't think you're getting points in back-to-back on the second day of a back-to-back in Colorado. So I'm thinking, all right, you got to get 2, and you have a good opportunity to maybe get 2 in Utah and 2 in Detroit, maybe. But the Colorado portion of it, you're going to be lucky if you stay within 3 or 4 goals. They also have the leading scorer in the league too. It was just a golden opportunity missed, and I was remembered at 2-1. It was actually 2-0 when the first one hit, where they could have gone up 3-0. It was the Utah turned the puck over. Dunn was all by himself, one-on-one with Vemelka. And Vemelka makes the save, but he's down and out. And Dunn follows up. All he's got to do is make contact with the puck, and it's 3-0. And he made contact with the puck barely. I mean, he pretty much fanned on it. And the puck just dribbles into the crease, and then it's bouncing around still. Kesselring follows in. He takes it back in and puts it right back into the down and out of Vemelka. And you don't score there. Okay. Then Utah does score, make it 2-1. And right after that, Greenway comes right down Main Street, right down the slot, all by himself, takes his time, gets his head up, takes a look. And what does he do? What do the Sabres always do? Hits the post square on. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, I mean, it you could just see him looking. You could see him pick that corner. And I mean, he had it. And he just hit the post square. So, instead of being 3-1, it's 2-1 still. And those were the 2 chances I thought that were just not only grade A scoring chances. I mean, they're basically open nets. And who knows what happens then? Is it up a different hockey game at 3-0, or is it a different hockey game at 3-1? I would think it is. I mean, we don't know for sure. If the third period plays out the same way, the Sabres, I don't think, basically have no resistance whatsoever like they did in the third period. I mean, that was pathetic. I mean, not only were their best players pathetic, but that was just, you gave up 5 unanswered goals to a team that basically was pretty much ready to let you win. And here you are. I mean, you lost going away 5-2. And, of course, you had to give up your empty netter, your 7th of the season. It's getting to a point now, I'm being totally serious here, that they probably should not pull the goalie. Because it's going in their net. They uh-huh. cannot play 6-on-5. They just cannot. They are better off, I think, just trying to play 5-on-5 because 6-on-5, they are giving up an empty netter. They never score. They have no empty net goals for this year, and they've given up 7, which I think is it's either the worst in the league or second worst. When they gave up the 6, they were the worst in the league for the second straight year. Last year, they were also worst in the league at it. They are horrendous at 6-on-5 to a point where I think they probably should stop pulling the goalie.
Paul Hamilton, you're a vibe this morning, Paul. Let me tell you, holy cow. I mean, I get it. It's justified. I wanted to ask you back to the – you mentioned the top line, like Thompson, Tuck, McLeod. Thompson, for a couple weeks there, a couple games, we would say, like, all right, slow starter, slow starter. Do you see a player that maybe – you know, that little stretch there where the Sabres were playing a little bit better hockey, that is faded, and they do not win a lot. Do you see a player that is checking out? Do you see a player that's on a line where he's lacking chemistry because, you know, they have had to shuffle things around? Like, what do you see in Thompson's game that is missing?
He absolutely checked out last night. I wouldn't say he's checked out the whole year, but he was nowhere to be found last night. Nowhere. He should be embarrassed. And Tuck was embarrassed. Tuck's talked after the game. You know, Thompson didn't run and hide. We just didn't ask for him. We had asked for Tuck. I wanted to talk to Ellis, you know, because he had gotten his second start, and Roseanne, who scored a couple of goals, he deserved to talk. So I don't want people to think that Thompson was running and hiding. Had he been asked, he would have talked. You know, but just nowhere to be found. To a point where I questioned to Brian, are some guys on this team trying to get people fired? I mean, and by people, either Kevin Adams or Lindy Ruff or both, because that's what I saw last night. I saw a bunch of guys who basically just. As I said, they may as well stayed on the bus.
Yeah, Paul, there'd been some speculation that if the start wasn't good, the changes could happen. Do you think we should start to be on watch for that?
There should have been changes last April. Terry Pegula is totally fine with this. And I'm saying that by his actions. He let a GM go into a sixth year when, after 5 years, the team was probably in worse shape than it was when he started. So that tells me that Terry Pegula is totally fine with what he's seeing on the ice because he let that GM go into a sixth year. There's no organization in the NHL that would have let the GM go into the sixth year. None. Except this one. And so if he didn't make a change then, why would he be considering it now? I mean, that's the way I look at it. And, you know, they'll just say it was injuries, and they're not wrong. Injuries have hurt them. But also, when you have injuries and your top players aren't your top players, and the thing I think that's really annoying is they were their top players for the third period in Carolina. That line really played well, and they scored a couple of goals. Tuck and Thompson both scored. And they look good. And it's like, yeah, okay, there you go. And I thought to myself, and I talked about it and probably with you guys and in the pregame, that this could be a springboard for those guys. It's like, okay, they played really well. Build on it. You didn't win the game in Carolina, but build on it. Again, there was another right there, that Carolina game. You give up just a goal where Byram was like, what are you doing? That's Eric Robinson that looks like Wayne Gretzky that just walked in there. And he just Gretzky'd you. And we talk about getting goalied. He got Gretzky'd by Eric Robinson. And then you don't get a save. And now it's 4-1. And then all of a sudden, this team takes off, and it's 4-3. It's like, yeah, maybe if you wouldn't have given up that goal in the first 29 seconds of the third period by Eric Robinson – you could have gotten points in that game too, but they came to the party. So it's like, okay, there you go. Now build on that. You got a couple of goals. You have some confidence here, build on it. And they didn't build on it at all. It was embarrassing. And Why? What are you doing that you can't build on, in Tage Thompson's case, you can't build on winning a gold medal where you won the golden, you scored the golden goal. You should have been so raring to go by the time you got to training camp that, because now you've won something. But it's just, I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not Tage Thompson. I can't tell you if he's happier that Adams is here, if he's not happy Adams is here. I don't know. And he's not going to say it publicly, even if you asked him. So I don't know what's happening here. But
yeah.
Tage Thompson, very little of what Tage Thompson can play like has shown up in this season.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline here talking Sabres as they lost to Utah last night and they'll play Colorado next, then Detroit, then come back home. It's five wins in, is it 14 games? Five wins in 14 games for the Sabres right now? Or
it's one win in eight.
One win in eight, yeah. And overall, maybe it's five and 16.
Five
sorry.
And 16.
Five
and wins. And they have three fewer wins than any team in the conference.
Yeah.
Right,
they're
now
30th in the league.
I saw that, yeah.
In points.
And I'll tell you, Paul, like, injuries are a part of this, but for a team that made the trades they made and said, we've got plenty of scoring, they don't score.
Well, and the injuries don't appear, Paul, to like be anywhere near coming back other than Benson, right? Because Lindy said with us the other day, Zucker hasn't eaten in 2 weeks. Kulik, blood clot thing could be anything. Dahlin is a defenseman, but he's offense and he's out probably for a while. Like, other than Benson, I don't really think the cavalry's coming.
Yeah, and he's right about Zucker. Not only does Zucker have to start feeling better, once he starts feeling better, how much weight has he lost? How much strength has he lost? You know, that he's going to have to, you know, get training again before you can use him. You know, and so it's not just feeling better. It's, you know, getting his whole body better. I mean, Bulldog said yesterday when I was on with him, remember last year, the year before, where he was in the hospital for 8 or 9 days? And he said he didn't eat a thing, and he lost like 20 pounds of muscle. Now, he's not a fine condition athlete, as he said. But still, it just gives you an idea. That I don't think he's just going to say, oh, finally, I feel better. Okay, I'll be standing in front of that in the power play tomorrow. No, I don't think so. You know, I think you've got to get ramped up again. So, you know, that has to happen. You know, we're talking about a blood clot that needs to dissolve. Nobody knows how long that's going to take. It's different. There are players who've never played again. After now, I don't think that's what Kulik is, because Lindy said that he expects that he will play again this year.
Because they found it early.
Yeah.
So these are things that you just don't know. We don't know how long Dahlin is going to be in Sweden. That's a situation he may not even know. You know, that's a hurting guy right now. You know, and he doesn't know which way to turn. And he's scared. And that's the thing I think we all forget about with athletes sometime, that real life happens for them too. They're fathers, they're husbands. They have things to do. I mean, they that don't have anything to do with money. You know, I know they make a lot of money and that can, you know, so they don't have to worry about, you know, if can they buy groceries this week or are they going to be able to put gas in the car or anything like that? I understand that. But there also are situations in life that money are not going to take care of. And, you know, that kid is scared to death right now. And, you know, he is the captain of the Buffalo Sabres, but that comes way, way later than what he's going through.
Paul Hamilton, his appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. All right, Paul, Colorado tonight.
We'll back to back.
We'll talk tomorrow. All right. Thanks. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. Take care.
Thanks, Paul. I'll pick myself up off the floor. Hold on. Let me watch some Gavin McKenna highlights.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
In just over 2 months' time, we will find ourselves in Nashville, and we want you to be with us. It's a Sabres Road Crew party in Nashville. It is a Monday afternoon watch party with Sabres fans and alumni on Monday, January 19th. Yes, we will be in Nashville, but the team is going to be in Carolina, and we'll be watching that game with you, hopefully. And then, of course, the next night, the Sabres are in Nashville to take on the Predators. So, as always, these terrific Road Crew events. Proceeds support the Sabres Foundation. Secure your spot, sabres.com/roadcrew. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, will you join us for said Road Crew party?
I think me and Nashville, like, it's a curse that can't happen. Because
the draft, you couldn't get there.
Yes. I was supposed to meet up with you guys and do an episode, if I remember right, and I spent 9 hours in an airport instead. So I fear, and this is a trip we've tried to replan, and things come up. I think Nashville is a city I'll never make it to.
And with the way travel is going on right now, and you don't want to chance it, so I can totally see it. Oh, Shayna, let me ask you this, because we talked about Hart Trophy conversation. Nathan MacKinnon last night, we saw him against the Sabres. We're going to see Connor McDavid on Monday. But I feel like, okay, so if a team goes 0-10-2 without said player in the last 2 years, where this player misses games, so 0-10-2, would that player be considered a most valuable player when he's in the lineup? And I'm talking about Rasmus Dahlin, obviously. So without him, they're 0-10-2 in the last 2 years. Like, that's obviously pretty valuable when he's on the roster and playing.
Yeah, I mean, that spells it out pretty perfectly. Definitely most valuable player, I think, to get the next step to the Hart Trophy conversation, because we know how everybody is with the voting. And this is, we're going to redo the way voting is done one day. We're slowly chipping away at it, okay? I don't think you need to be a playoff team. I think you need to be in the bubble, right? Mm-hmm. The day the Sabres are in that bubble is the day we're finally going to hear Rasmus Dahlin hype for the Hart Trophy, because, you know, he definitely deserves it. He's someone that has that Hart Trophy potential. I think he has Norris Trophy potential when you go by all the criteria. He checks off those boxes. But yeah, it's a huge thing. He is a vital part of their game in every single facet, right? It's all the little things along with the big scoring moments. So I think all of that, you know, culminates to someone who is MVP caliber for sure.
Which team is must watch for you right now, every night?
Okay, so it was Montreal in the first couple weeks of the season.
You got hyped on Montreal early in the year.
You know, it was exciting, and I liked watching the goaltending situation develop and all of that. and now I want nothing to do with it. I mean, I had to turn that game off last night. I feel like lately I'm cursed because I have Sam Montembeau on my fantasy team, so I'm staying away from them.
There's bias here.
There, of course, there always is. Come on. if I had to go outside of that now, I would say two teams come front of mind. Anaheim is very interesting to me. I think it's intriguing to see how good the offense has become. I think the defense, after the first couple games, has trended up. And I think Detroit intrigues me a lot, too. I don't think Dylan Larkin gets enough hype for all that he does. He's someone, like Darlene, all of the little details, too. And his goal last night, I think, showed that perfectly. Playing it right when Bennett Sinacki was trying to hit him. And just the way he, like, manages the situation, he has the skill. But since he's not a first-line center at the caliber of a Connor McDavid, he's not going to get that same hype.
What do you make of, like, the Philadelphia Flyers? And I'm only saying because they're right on the bubble, right? You could say they're 8-5-3. They're doing pretty good. But they have some of their guys, like Mitchkov, slowed down. Owen Tippett, I think it was, like, 1 point in 11 games or something. Like, what do you make of the Flyers and how they're constructed and having some of their big guys maybe not performing but still getting results?
They're an interesting one because, like, when you think about a rebuilding team, you don't ever think defensive structure, right? Like, that's something that tends to come after the fact. It's like, wow, look at the upside. And we think upside, we think scoring, and we think exciting offense. And that's not the Flyers in any which way, right? Like, they held on to the defensive structure they got in the John Tortorella era. But I am not the biggest Rick Tocchet believer. I think in Arizona he had his moments, but I think with Vancouver, like, they always overperformed. That those question marks below the surface offensively didn't get answered enough. I think they got better defensively under him. And now, you know, he comes into Philly and some of the quotes coming out have been interesting of, like, they don't understand the system offensively enough. How, like, they used to be so acclimated to just get into the offensive zone and then let your creativity and your reads take over. And I do like that. I think you need some sort of basic structure, but I like the idea of reads over necessarily set plays sometimes. Mm-hmm. But this is a team that I question that offensive system in the first place, right? Like, I don't know if it's a flawed system and that's why the players aren't grasping it. I don't know if it's not instructed properly or if there's just not nearly enough offensive talent that you would never see it come to fruition anyway here. So that's what holds me back with them.
Well, I'll say this. Most teams have players that have room for improvement offensively outside of Colorado. But the Rangers and Flyers are tied for second best in the league at 2.56 goals against. So it is a very strong foundation right now, I believe, under Tocchet, that has allowed them to have a 594 points percentage, which is likely going to be good enough if they sustain it to get into the playoffs. And Mitchkov has goals in three consecutive games, so he's warming here. The challenge will be, you know, can Tippett cash in on some of these chances that he's still getting? But I think they're an interesting team amidst many across the league right now. Like, for me, when I asked you about the must-watch, like, it's San Jose. It's every night San Jose. But
San Jose, that's a good one, yeah.
But this week, crazily, like, they won the Minnesota game, probably shouldn't have, and then they got dominated again by Calgary, of all teams, and lost that game getting blanked. So I don't know if we're going to see, a major correction here for this San Jose team or if it's just a blip, and then they get back on home ice and they feel what they have felt most of the year.
I mean, I don't think they're going to be good, but it's the same as last year, honestly. Like, I think the thing with the Sharks is that they can stay in games longer than you would expect. And now that they have very capable goaltending, like, they're going to get those timely saves. But they are so much fun. They are so much fun to watch. I remember last year on the broadcast, they were saying, like, they're the most fun bad team you've ever seen. And it's, like, it's honestly true because the vibes are there. The skill is there. The elite, generational, whatever you want to call Celebrini. And I use that word very carefully. But to me, that is, like, an elite, elite, elite player who's going to just keep, you know, getting better and better. And I think Eklund and Smith, like, you see the makings of this next core. It's like they've gotten there quicker than, say, Chicago. And now you're starting to see it come together in Chicago. And you're like, this is interesting. This is exciting. I also think we all... maybe not. Some people love defense. And listen, I love defense as much as the next person. But I think we like high event hockey and we're so excited by that, right? Like, we might win, but we might die is one of the most fascinating things to watch. Like, because then you are getting those exciting goaltending saves too. Because how many times is it a goalie makes a perfectly positionally sound save, but they're not going to get the hype, even though it's like they did all the right things all along, but it's not flashy, which you would get from like some terrible defensive breakdown, forcing them to go laterally. Like, that's what we want to see, and I think that's why the Sharks are so endearing, because the games are like that every single night.
What is happening in Washington? Is this Spencer Carberry coach of the year, like, coming down to earth a little bit the next year, or Ovechkin only with 4 goals? Like, what are we seeing in Washington that puts them, you know, basically at the bottom, you know, second last in the Eastern Conference right now?
Yeah, they're definitely an interesting one. I think some of it's like a little bit of an overcorrection because last year they did ride a high shooting percentage a bit, but I think it's also the Pierre-Luc Dubois injury, is more impactful than any of us would have thought. And it's because of like those negative connotations with him in the contract, but he was so good as a 2C there last year and they played such tough minutes and, you know, it was him and Tom Wilson, I think, just crushing that second line. And now it's like, well, you're forcing Connor McMichael back to center, and not just at center, but to play this big role. And now you need other players to step up to make up for what Ovechkin lacks. And, you know, I think you see the makings of a good team, obviously. Like, to me, Protas is still going to be really good. I think McMichael will find his footing and be better, but I'm just underwhelmed by them right now. And it's just like this interesting transition phase where I feel like they got by last year with this like depth approach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now I think when you see like little breakdowns in that depth, which they're clearly dealing with, it's like, okay, that's where the chain is breaking. How do you fix that? And I don't think they've had a good enough solution. Like a guy like Beauvillier worked last year for that. But now it's like, okay, maybe could you go for something a little more high end here to just bring up the entire group?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out yesterday. Yeah, you're right. That, you know, Logan Thompson, that was the first one this year. But it didn't work out against Florida yesterday. And Florida's somehow like finding their groove again. And that's, that's what the Eastern Conference should be worried about, is that Tampa's got a lot of injuries, but they got a little better. Florida's finding their grooves. Like, it's going to be a tough race again in the East.
Panthers have won 3 out of 4. We mentioned Marchand and Reinhardt are carrying it from a goal-scoring standpoint. The Islanders are hot. They're 5-1-1. They had an unthinkable overtime win last night right after they took too many men on the ice. They score shorthanded to beat Vegas, who can't win now, like Vegas.
And they lost the challenge, too. That could have been crushing right there. Like, you see it all the time.
Unbelievable. So Islanders are 5-1-1. Schaefer has 14 points already to start his
6
NHL
goals, trip. Right? He's
oh my gosh!
For like, most goals by a defenseman.
It's crazy. Are the Islanders for real because of Schaefer?
I think that I could see them at best in a wild card position. I think I'm very curious how they stick to the process at the deadline, right? Because I think that there are players you could see that they could trade if they want to. Do they go one more year of this for the long term? They totally could. Wouldn't blame them either way at this point, to be honest. But I think with Schaefer, you see two things. One, how unbelievable he is, right? The instant impact, which we don't always get to see from first overall picks, especially defensemen. The other part of it is how flawed that blue line is around him, too. But it seems like they're kind of hitting their stride a little bit more. But I think, you know, Bo Horvat has been unreal so far to start the season. I think guys like Heinemann, like, that's a really good addition for them. And you're seeing players like Holmstrom take that next step. And maybe the most important of it all is that Barzal looks great and he's back at center. Because, you know, since they acquired Bo Horvat, he was playing wing. And last year, you look on the surface and you're underwhelmed by him. And I get it, because he's someone that you know has this unbelievable skill set if he would just put it all together at once. And, you know, the score sheet didn't show it last year, but his underlying numbers were just lights out last year. So it's nice to see it now coming together and back at his natural position.
If you had to write an article, 1,000 words on the Toronto Maple Leafs, how would that go? Like, I'm looking around and obviously a lot of different numbers are being thrown, but I've seen their playoff odds as low as 12% with some models. Like, I mean, if you're the Leafs and you're staring at a 12% playoff chance, that's not good. So how would your 1,000 words on the Leafs go?
The drama of being a Leaf.
It's falling. The Leafs are falling.
The Leafs are falling. I'm sorry. It's fall. It's the perfect time for that. You know what? I have a lot of issues with the Leafs, and I've had it for a lot of years now. I think the vision is, like, wrong. I think the Shanahan plan went wrong. I think hiring Brad Tree Living took this team in the wrong direction. And while I do think that there's value to becoming a better defensive team and finding stable goaltending, and they needed both, right? I feel like the defensive issues sometimes got overhyped because the goaltending wasn't so stable, and now you have Stolarz, and when he's healthy, he's so good. But the secondary scoring was an issue when they had Mitch Marner in the lineup. And now you see the secondary issues are an issue without Mitch Marner in the lineup because you're missing 100 points. The other part of it, too, is the Derek Lalonde of it all. I am fascinated by, because he was so good with Tampa Bay as a penalty kill coach and running their defense, right? And then he goes to Detroit, and that is not the case at all. Even though he hires an associate coach in Bob Buchner, who was an expert in that in his time in, you know, San Jose in years past, and the two of them together just didn't work. So now he goes to Toronto, and you see how impactful Lane Lambert was, and I think that's great for Lambert to show he could do it outside of Trotz's shadow. But now you're looking at the Lalonde system. It's not working, and the personnel is the problem, but the coaching's a part of it. I think at every level there are issues there, so I can't wait to see how this unfolds.
Goaltending's a big part of it. All the numbers are off. They're almost dead last in goals against, so it's the old thing. Show me a good coach. Show me a good goalie.
No support, though. I like to see him yelling at his team. I love that because they are hanging him out
right.
dry.
But
he's
I think
only been
get
over a 4 goals against average since then, so if you're going to do that, you got to back it up. That's
right. And I think Joe Wall's going to help, obviously. It's an understatement. I'm a believer. I know this is an unprecedented circumstance for him and the time off that he took, and we'll see how it goes for him. But I think there's, you know, I don't know if you can ever say anyone's bottomed out, but I don't think the Leafs are going any lower than what they are.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
This discourse will just...
And by the way, tip of the cap to John Tavares. I mean, my goodness, what a year, again, he is authoring after taking that hometown discount. Like, just...
Duffer is on the Tavares on Team Canada train. That's where he's at.
I really think he's earned it. I know there's nothing in the way of space for him, but I just, you know, for anybody that can remember the decades ago when Canada Cup teams were formed and you were trying to fill in the rosters with superstars who were never going to be Gretzky and Lemieux, but you found a place to put superstars. Yeah. Like, yes, I love Celebrini and Bedard, but John Tavares has over 1,000 points and over 500 goals, and imagine him playing with, like, the greatest Canadian team ever assembled, right? He's not going to look out of place. He's going to be an impactful star. So that's Canada's problem, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, he's not going to look out of place, and he is earning his place on that roster, but I don't care. I want the fun. I'm all for the young guns. I may or may not be writing about this next week. Like, I am, I'm all
Bennett
for
Bennett and the Wilson against the Tkachuks, and let's go.
Actually, I'm picking Wilson over Bennett.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And 100%. I would not bring Bennett at all in an Olympic environment with the different rules, and I would go Celebrini or Bedard over him every day of the week.
Yes.
Shayna, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, and we're looking at young Sabres fans in your life that you want to enjoy exclusive ticket offers, fun gifts, special event invites. Sign them up. It's the Sabres Kids Club. Visit sabres.com/kidsclub to join in on all the fun this season. Birthdays and more. Sabres Live continues after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sabres play the Utah Mammoth tomorrow, part of this four-game road trip they're on. We'll bring in Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff for our weekly conversation on Tuesdays. We moved it an hour because, of course, out west a little bit. Lindy, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, how is Salt Lake as a hockey visit, as a hockey trip?
I've only been here once, and that was last year. So this is the second opportunity to stay in Salt Lake. The views are beautiful. You got the mountains in the background, and the venue is nice. They've got a new practice facility we're going to practice in today. We'll see what that's like.
Yeah. Out west, these western trips, it's starting Carolina, ending Detroit, but in the midst, Colorado and Utah. And you feel like this four-game trip here, it's the first lengthy road trip of the year, really. You guys started out at home. An opportunity here maybe to kind of get some more time together. It might be a cliche, but maybe it's a cliche because it's how coaches generally feel. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I just feel it's an opportunity. I look at our last game in Carolina as really kind of the start of this trip, and I like the way we played in the first period. I like what we did in the third period. We had a tough second period where we didn't manage the puck well enough. And second periods with the longer change and you get hemmed inside your end cost us dearly. So I like what we did with the lines. I felt we were generating a lot more opportunities in the third period. Second period, we left some really good chances out there late in the period. I think with the players we've had out and shuffling the lines a little bit, I'm excited to see if these lines can stay together and help generate some offense for us.
Yeah, could the trip be good too for some of those guys that are in spots replacing guys that are out of the lineup? Like instead of just the drive back and forth to Rochester a lot, you're on the trip and you're relied upon right now.
Yeah, for sure. Not relied. We're counting on them. And I think the guys that we have brought out have played well. If you want to look at Rosine and Austin, they've both scored for us. We need secondary scoring to come from a lot of different places. And these are two talented young guys that, if you look at the year Rosine has been having in Rochester, he's played extremely well. He was leading the league in scoring when we brought him up. I think Austin, again, was having a great year. And the previous year had played really well. So they get to be part of a bigger road trip. I think you've made a good point. A lot of times they're up and back, or they're living in a hotel at home. Here they get to be part of the group and really feel like they're part of the team.
Do you feel like you've had to shuffle things more than you might want to, just based on the constant in and out from everyone in the lineup? Like, I've got the players that have missed games due to injury or illness. It's Norris, Power, Greenway, Luukkonen, Kesselring, Benson, Zucker, Kulik, Kozak, Danforth, Samuelson, and now Dahlin on a leave of absence as well. Like, you just, it's been a tough go, I think, from your standpoint, trying to get anything with consistency.
Yeah, well, that's part of what you have to deal with. We don't want to use that as an excuse. It's the next man's opportunity. We have shuffled a lot of things around, and we'll continue to shuffle. It looks like there's nobody coming back for the next couple games, or possibly the next three games. We'll see how that goes. But every team deals with injuries. It really has to be the next man up opportunity. I think we've been really working hard on in practice at our offensive zone play to increase offensive zone time so we spend less time in our own end, and we'll continue to work on that today. But, the lines have constantly changed. Our special teams has constantly changed. We're looking for, lines that are generating and can help create some offense. And we're looking for some special teams that can help us win hockey games. So pieces are getting put in different places really on a nightly basis.
You mentioned that some of these guys are probably not coming back this trip. Zucker with the illness and Kulik with the blood clot issues. I don't know if you've dealt with something like that before, Lindy, in your career. That feels like one of those things that can just have a total wild, amount of variance in how quickly a guy can come back from that. So is that kind of where you're at with maybe even both guys, different situations? Like, it's kind of unknown when the timeline might be.
Yeah, well, I can share that the blood clot was something that was found when they were looking at something else. And I think we're fortunate to have found it. The time frame for him is obviously it's a good period of time, but there's no reason with medication and if things go well that, you know, he doesn't return to play. And I don't really want to bring up a time frame for it, but I really expect him back at some point later on in the season. The Zucker one has been a crazy one. Just one of those crazy viral sicknesses that one of our coaches had a conversation with him yesterday, and he hasn't had any solid food, I don't think, for 9 days. And has gone through every type of test, and weight wise, I think he's down a considerable amount of weight. And when he does start feeling better, it's going to take a real good period of time to get him back and up and running. So two crazy situations that you don't expect that you have to deal with.
Lindy Ruff with us on the Wester Hotline. Darlene stepping away, obviously understandable personal matter that he is stepping away to. So filling in for him, Lindy, it's tough, right? He's one of the best defensemen in the world. How much would you say Owen Power is up to him to fill in to a job like that, or to a role where he's kind of the lead guy on a blue line, or do you just kind of treat it where everybody's balancing through it?
Yeah, you know, I think we're asking Owen to be, we're using him or Byram on the power play, but I think Owen is the guy that we're looking to. I thought he had a good game in Carolina. I thought their defensive pair that struggled was the Byram-Kesslering pair. And when you take a piece out that's playing, 23, 24 minutes and you add ice time, sometimes that added ice time works out for you. Sometimes it puts a player or two players in a situation that they're not usually accustomed to or playing against top lines. But I know we need more out of that pair that played. But in the absence of Darlene, I think Power is the guy that, stepped up inside that game, and we're going to need him to step up inside these next few games coming up.
With Power, Lindy, he's still pretty young, right? I wonder if you have a number of games or age of a career where you feel like a player, stops growing or stops becoming who they are going to be. But do you think of him as still very much developing at this point and with a lot more ceiling to come?
I do. I look at him as a package that has a lot of capabilities. A young man that's strength-wise and speed-wise and just understanding the game has got room to grow into. I think he's taken a big step this year. Part of his game, the physicality down low, has improved. I think the way he jumped into the play the other night, the opportunities that he was in on, he scored the goal, he was in on another opportunity. Getting up and down the ice has improved. So, yeah, I look at a lot of times for defensemen that, third, fourth year is when they kind of settle in and you know who they are and what they can do and how comfortable they are and where you can play them. But, you can't teach size. He's got size and he's improving in a lot of areas. And I think the capabilities are there to be an elite defenseman.
This being his fifth season, as you say, how long it takes you to settle in. Do you, in your experience, have a year and age where you feel like you fully know what someone is capable of?
Oh boy, that is a tough one because there's outliers to everything that you believe in. There's some young defensemen, and I haven't spent a lot of time looking at them, but the young defenseman that's playing in Long Island right now that can step in at that age.
Yeah, Schaefer's he's apparently been amazing, right?
He's been amazing. So, he stepped in. He looks awful comfortable at that age. So I think there's different scenarios. I mean, I'll share this. When Phil Housley came to Buffalo and I looked at him and I thought, holy crap, Phil, you look like you're 12 years old. and he stepped in and played unbelievable. I think it's a different scenario for different players, but I think the common is in that 3 or 4 year range. So I mean, that's my opinion.
Right, yeah. The outliers. Wait, was Brian Campbell one of these where, like, he didn't maybe even do this until, like, 26, 27 in his career?
There you go. There's the other side of it. And did he take off once he got to that point? Yeah. I still remember sharing, stories with Brian, and when he came up, and I hated the way he always kept two hands on a stick, and he was defending the rush, and, one day I think I taped a 3 or 4 pound weight to a stick, and I said, here, just drag this around. He took off at that point. There's a great example of somebody that took off in years that you would have expected would have happened sooner.
Yeah. Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff ahead of Utah tomorrow night.
The goaltending, Lindy, I think you said this at practice, maybe that Ellis could see a game here. How's it, I don't know, is his attitude, how has he been kind of not being a part of the rotation, which I'm sure can be tough for a guy, especially someone who's trying to get, his NHL career rolling?
I think it's a situation that's not comfortable for anybody. It's not comfortable for myself as a coach. It's not comfortable for the three goaltenders. But I will say this, that the three guys have handled this very well. And the attitudes have been unbelievable. I think that they all understand they got to step in. When they do step in, they have to play well. And I think, I think Ellis would have had another opportunity if it wasn't for the situation in Toronto because of how well he played in that previous game. So what I said yesterday, he's going to play on this trip. I think he's earned that right to play on this trip, but his attitude and his work ethic has been tremendous.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff, Sabres and Mammoth, part of this road trip continues tomorrow. Lindy, thanks for the time and best of luck tomorrow night.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, it's been a minute here since we've had a chance to visit with Paul Hamilton. The way things go. Sabres played Tuesday and Thursday last week. Friday was Football Friday, and then the Bills lost to Miami on Sunday, and the world's been burning since, really. And so we haven't had a chance to catch up with Paul, and the Sabres hadn't played until tonight. So they're back on our radar, and Paul Hamilton now joins me live from Utah on the Western Hotline, where the Sabres will play the Mammoth, who they just lost to, I believe, in overtime last Tuesday. So pretty quick turnaround for the home-and-home with their Western Conference foes here. Paul, I might want to lead off, though, asking you how your travel to Utah went. Did you manage to get out there without any problems? Because I think Friday was a mess for you, if I remember right.
Yeah, you're right, it was. It went very well. So I was very happy with that. It was a long flight from Baltimore to Salt Lake, and it's about almost 5 hours, but Yeah, but as far as being on time and airports and everything, they made me check my suit bag, which they've never done before. That's a first, which made me mispractice because I had to wait baggage claim, which I was planning on just bolting right out of the airport and over to the practice, but baggage claim ruined that. But other than that, it was fine.
All right, good to hear. How is you? This is the first time there, right?
For yes.
You?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I can't ask you yet what the rink is like because you missed practice.
That was the practice.
Oh,
rink,
morning and
I was
skate.
At the Delta Center, the morning
right.
skate.
Okay.
I'm actually looking at the Delta Center right now. I can see it right out my hotel window. It's right across the street. So, so I was in there for the morning skate. The thing is, because it's a basketball arena, there really isn't a press box. So I was kind of walking around where the writers are, and then there's another place where the TV people are, and then there's another place where the radio people are. So, but my seat's actually not too bad. I'm right at center ice where the radio people are.
How much of a hockey town? Can you get a feel for that? You've been there for a day now. Does it feel like it's a – because, I mean, you've traveled everywhere here that the Sabres have played over the years, and not all places are like, hockey hotbeds, I guess I'd want to say. Do you have an opinion yet on Utah, or is it still too soon?
Yeah, this is the only arena I haven't been to. The thing that really, really surprised me, Bulldog, was there's nothing around here. There's an arena here, and I'm looking for a restaurant or I'm looking for anything. I couldn't even find a Subway for lunch. I mean, it's just like nothing around here except a sports bar. That was it. It's like, all right, I guess I'm eating at the sports bar yesterday. It was like, okay, it's not the first time I've eaten a sports bar. I'll live. But it was fine. But I just was very, very surprised with an arena here, how little is down here. There's like a IMAX theater. There's a venue where concerts are held. I think it's an old train terminal. But walking around, there's really just nothing as it comes, maybe in other parts of the city. But I just was very surprised by that, having an arena here with just nothing around it.
Right. And, of course, the arena has been home to the Utah Jazz for many, many years. So it's not like it's new just because the hockey team showed up, right? So I guess I would say I am surprised by that. Well, I'm just to end this little bit of the conversation, I'm curious to see how this goes out there. The ownership seems very like young, proactive, energetic, and we'll see if they can really get a foothold there. But it seems like it's going pretty well. Like they're off to a pretty nice start this year, this team.
Well, we know J.J. Paterka's happy. He had a mic on, and he said at the opening face-off with Alex Tuch, they treat us unbelievably. All right, they dropped the puck. Let's go.
Yeah, nice to hear
that.
Well,
recently this hockey team has lost 5 out of 6. Bulldog, do you realize right now, in this season, no team has hurt the Buffalo Sabres more than the Utah Mammoth. Not only did they beat the Buffalo Sabres 2-1, they have lost 5 out of 6 games. 4 of those losses have come to the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Ottawa Senators, and the Montreal Canadiens. 4 out of those 5 losses have come to those teams that are around the Sabres. So they have handed 2 points to the people that the Sabres are with.
Right.
And the Sabres, as you mentioned, 2-1 loss.
Right. Too bad. That's tough. You know what else?
No team. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, what stands out, I remember when you joined me last Tuesday before the Sabres and Mammoth played in Buffalo, I mentioned how the standings, I think there were 11 teams going into play that night, this is last Tuesday now, in the Eastern Conference, had either 13 or 14 points at that time, 11. Right now, there is one team in the Eastern Conference left that still only has 14 points. Of course, it's the Sabres. They got that loser point in that game, and then they've lost the last two, shut out by St. Louis.
They have 1 win in 7, and
yeah.
I keep saying this, and people are tired of hearing it. This is the early season swoon that seems to happen every year. Here is their test. Their test is right now. They are 1 out of 7. They have some loser points in there. They have lost 3 in a row, and they have 3 coming up back-to-back Utah and Denver. Good luck with that, boys, because they now have the worst record in the Eastern Conference. They are now 4 points out of a playoff spot. Go lose three more. By Sunday, they will have the flame thrown their season again. If they lose those three games, they're done.
Well,
because they probably are going to be 6-7 points out of the playoffs and having to leapfrog eight teams again.
Yeah.
And you just are not going to get by 7 or 8 teams being that far behind. You're just not.
Yeah.
So here we are in November. This is a must win. They have to go out and win this hockey game. They have to. Because, as I said, their season could be over by the weekend if they don't.
Yeah, I am with you. I thought going into the trip, including the Carolina game, like if they can find their way to two wins on this trip, it's a very tough trip. Carolina, they never win in Carolina, and that, of course, held true on Saturday night. Utah, at least they're skidding now. They had been, just last week, they were going pretty well. Colorado, holy cow, I watched the first period of their game with Anaheim last night. I mean, boy, two teams that were just up and down the ice there. Anaheim's having a crazy good start to the year, but they were outmatched by Colorado quite badly in that game. And then Detroit has cooled off a little, but that Saturday. Now they're at win two of the three. And I think that's a really heavy lift, especially. Like, I know the Sabres do not their fans at this point do not feel a lot of sympathy for them, you know, for the situations they find themselves in. But some of what has befallen them here recently, I think, is almost calamitous. I mean, Zucker doesn't just have the flu. He hasn't eaten solid food in 9 days. I mean, holy cow, Paul. I spent 10 days in the hospital 2 summers ago, and I didn't eat the whole time. I lost 20 pounds of muscle. Like, and I'm not a pro athlete, so, I mean, hopefully there's weight. But holy cow, to have Zucker down for that long, good luck. I mean, I'm sure nutrition for him as a pro athlete is a different thing than it was for me at Buffalo General. But still, that is a long time to be down with that kind of an illness. And now we've got, what, blood clots with Kulik? I mean, holy cow, Paul. It just feels like the worst of the worst luck-wise right now for them.
It is, and it is legitimate. It's not an excuse, or I mean, it is an excuse, rather. It is legitimate. But I also say, too, the Florida Panthers have built a good enough team with depth that they're surviving without their top two people, their captain, Barkov, and without Matthew Tkachuk. Ottawa, look where they are. Brady Tkachuk's not playing, and Batherson didn't play for a while to start the season. Mm-hmm. They're surviving. You know, and I know it's a lot of players that the Sabres have had out, but the Sabres, the minute they lost Norris, I thought, well,
yeah,
because they just have nobody to step in because they have no depth as in their top six. They don't even have enough guys to have a top six. And then you have one go down, your best centerman, maybe your best forward, you know, debatable.
Mm-hmm.
And you got nobody to throw in there. And that's the build of this team. And last year, through 13 games of no winning, the GM was paralyzed. Did absolutely nothing. We're here.
Yep.
We're here again. We going to get paralyzed again or what?
Yeah, I mean, I guess something has to happen, or it won't, and it'll just be another one of those years, I guess, that we can chalk up. So the lines, I mean, I don't even know what to do with the lines.
They have one line.
Right.
You know, I don't like to number lines, but if we're going to number lines, they have a first line and 3 fourth lines right now.
And the first line is signed by is centered by a third line center, right, in McLeod. Like, that's basically.
Yeah, but he did really well. McLeod. Yeah. McLeod's line was according to Money Puck, was the seventh best line in the NHL with Doan and Tuck.
Yep.
They were doing very well. Then he centers Thompson and Tuck, and all of a sudden they dominate the third period against Carolina, and both Tuck and Thompson score. Well, what's the common denominator in those? The centerman.
Right.
Who has speed and is backing off the other team. So, you know, he's not putting up points. I'll give him that, but still, I mean, as I said, when, according to analytics, he was centering the seventh best line in the NHL.
Well, that I think a lot of that could be due to the, you know, if you're playing down the lineup a little bit there, which that line was not their top ice time line when they were relatively healthy, that's a favorable matchup, and that's good that you can win that. We'll see if they can keep going with what they had.
And I'm
on
not making a case for him to be a number one.
No, I know. Saying. You're just saying it's not as big
I'm just
a problem
saying
as
doing,
I maybe.
He's doing pretty well. Yeah, is what I'm saying. But he's not a number one center. We all know that.
I very short-sightedly did not even mention. I mean, not that there's a lot to analyze about it, but added to the list of the calamity and there's a horrible luck is the situation that's happening with Dolly. With him leaving the team for the time being, and we have no idea how, at least I don't know of any timeline on that. And like that's another, you know, obviously super huge piece to the team that has not really been all that he can be, which we all understand why now, even more so. I mean, you made the point the first time I even brought up Dahlin and his play not being at the level we were expecting. You mentioned the absolutely awful situation that his partner was in, and so he's home now, and so that's another piece to this that is just making it that much more of an uphill climb for them.
Yeah, and one thing I can tell you, and you know why I can tell you this, he is unbelievably scared right now.
Yeah,
and you don't know where to look, you don't know what to do, your heart is beating at 9 million miles an hour all day long, all night long. You wake up in a cold sweat. You're anxious. I mean, and then on top of it, you're trying to go out and play your best hockey.
Right.
And I've asked people on, you know, politely, you know, who start ripping into them, like, could we show the kid a little bit of grace here? I mean, I don't want to make excuses for people, but come on. I mean, the kid probably shouldn't even be playing, you know, but he's trying. He's the captain of the team, and he's trying to do what he feels is the right thing. And, you know, it's a tough situation for him.
No question about it. No question about it. Where do we turn from here? Goaltending. Colton Ellis gets his shot tonight, right? Boy, you know, after being so bullish, it was just last week, right? I think we both sort of thought maybe Luukkonen would get the game on Tuesday on the heels of the good finish against Washington, and it turned out that he didn't. And but when he did finally get back in, it did not go well.
Good start and two bad ones.
Right. I mean, the Sabres played, they kind of carried the game on Thursday against St. Louis, but the goals against... the second one especially. I mean, whatever. Mm-hmm. The third one's an empty netter. So, you know, who cares? But, boy, that second goal was just, dude, what?
Yeah, he only gave up two, but the first one's a breakaway. But, come on. You know, if you're going to be a good team, you got to make a big save. Help a guy out, you know? Help one of your teammates out. And the second one, yeah. He only gave up two. I get that.
Yeah.
And you got goalied by a guy who had the worst goaltending numbers in the NHL. His goals against was like 5.02.
Yep.
And you got goalied by this guy. But, you know, at the end of the day, he only gave up two. But still, they weren't goals that – and he didn't look confident the whole night. He just looked like he was off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, somebody else, a goaltending coach, might say, yeah, well, that's why you got to keep him in the net so he can, you know, get going and get – well, right now they need wins. As I said, their season could be over by the weekend. They need wins right now. And Colton Ellis was going to play in Toronto, woke up with back. They even sent him there early. Wasn't there for the home game. He was in Toronto already. And, you know, woke up with back spasms. And, you know, that's – so here we are. That was on October 22nd where he had his NHL debut. And he was going to play a few days later, maybe three it was, four, something like that. And he couldn't. So now, you know, he's going to get another opportunity. When Lindy Ruff said that, it was almost obvious which game it would be. I mean, come on. He's not going to play the second of a back-to-back against Colorado.
With this lineup in front of him.
Yeah.
On top of it, right?
I mean, so I'm thinking, that's not the game.
Yeah.
You probably want to give – Lyon didn't get the first Red Wing game. You probably want to give him the Red Wing game. That's what he played with last year. So this is the game that made sense all along to me, and this is the game he's going to get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hope the kid is on point. He had a great debut, no question about that, and hopefully he can do some good things for them tonight in this game in Utah. All right, Paul, get to the rink, and we will hear from you, I don't know, about 90 minutes or so.
Yep, 8 o'clock, I'll be on with Brian.
All right, there you go. There's Paul Hamilton live in Utah. Sabres and Mammoth coming your way tonight. Like we just said, Paul and Brian will get us going with pregame coverage starting at 8 o'clock, face-off a little bit after 9. The Sabres will travel right after this game to Denver. Not a long trip at all for same bat time, same bat channel tomorrow, 9 o'clock against the Avalanche, and then finish this trip up in Detroit on Saturday. Paul's appearance with me here on WGR, by the way, is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. That's going to put a lid on our hockey conversation. We'll get back to football as Eric Wood joined us for his weekly visit, and we will get you that conversation right after this. Back into the Bills we go here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.